Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Whether you are an occasional jogger, skier, or weekend warrior, or a hardcore athlete, exercise will hurt you, according to Dr. Stephen Bearer, director of the Neuroscience Institute and former chief of the Division of Neurosurgery at Abington Memorial Hospital. He's the author of a new book by the same name, Exercise Will Hurt You, Concussion, Traumatic Brain Injury, and How the Dangers of Sports and Exercise Can Affect Your Life. He says the only questions are, when will it happen, how badly will you be injured, and how can you protect yourself? It's a pleasure to welcome Stephen Bearer to the Roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
And thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
So the title of the book is very definitive. You will hurt yourself. Exercise will hurt you. How do you come to that conclusion?
Well, I start out the book with a litany of my personal injuries, which are legion, and some of them very significant, especially for a surgeon. I had a wrist fracture, which was potentially a career-threatening injury. The literature on exercise-related and sports-related injury is just replete with multiply injured individuals, and just the logic of it suggests that if you exercise enough, you're going to hurt yourself somehow. Now, many times it's minor. You can pull a muscle or sprain an ankle or jam a finger, any of the things that most of us have done multiple times over the years. The book, of course, takes a little bit more of a serious look at the more severe injuries and how they occur and how you can avoid them.
So your message here is not to avoid exercise. It's to take caution and make sure that it doesn't hurt you.
Correct. Nowhere in the book do I say exercise isn't good for you. What I say is that it can hurt you and most likely will. And I talk about those aspects of exercise and sports. The other thing, the point of view I took was that no one really gets a good discussion of how things can harm you when you start a sport or an exercise or buy a piece of equipment. So as a surgeon, where I have to get what's known as informed consent before I operate on anybody, I see this book as informed consent for the exerciser.
And you make an interesting point in that we often sell the benefits of what this can do for you, how this can make you healthier, and yet the other side of it, the fine print, if you will, of how it can hurt you, isn't fully explained.
And usually not even explained at all, much less fully.
And that's not even machinery. That could be simply going out for a run or a jog.
Right. You go buy a nice pair of jogging shoes. Does the salesman tell you how jogging can harm you? Never did for me when I bought them.
One of the things that you point out in the book that just sounds so simple, and yet we don't do it, which is listen to your body. That your body is telling you a lot of stuff, and you have to listen to it. What advice do you have as to how to listen to your body and understand what it's trying to tell you?
Well, the most important thing to listen to is pain. Pain is an evolutionarily adaptive symptom that we get when something's wrong with us, and it tells us that something is wrong with us. The mantra of exercise and sports, that no pain, no gain, is terrible. I mean, I say that in the book, that it's a terrible philosophy to live by, especially if the pain is worsening, continuing, and nothing seems to make it better. You really have to pay attention to that, even minor pains, minor aches and pains. And also, as time goes on, it's a variety of other things that occur where we develop numbness or weakness or some change in our gait, some instability in our walking, numbness in the hand, change in our agility of the hands. Things that aren't necessarily pain-related, although many of those are, that suggest something is wrong and to pay attention to and go find out.
You also make the point that this can add up over time, that the strains and the fractures and the concussions, it doesn't have to be one big hit. Those injuries can add up.
They do, and especially the cumulative ones of the aging process. You know, those of us who exercise into our later years. I'm a baby boomer. I spend a lot of time talking to the baby boomers in this book because we're not in our 30s anymore. And we are also the first generation that really incorporated exercise into our lifestyle. And over time, the little hits add up and start to cause problems that are as much age-related as they are exercise-related, but they go hand-in-hand. Not that you would be healthy if you got into bed when you were 30 and never left, because you would die of a lot of other bad things, but as you continue to exercise, continue to move, continue to play sports, whatever it is, the cumulative effect of all of that motion, activity, and in some cases, significant injuries do create a cumulative additive effect over time.
If we are aware, if we read the book, if we heed your advice, there seems to me to still be that I guess the analogy would be driving. You know, okay, I'm a good driver, but what about the other guy? So whether it's skiing or golf or football or boxing, you do have to worry about the other person that you're opposing in some way, right?
Sometimes, especially in contact sports, and I make a concerted effort in the book to discuss the head injuries, the minor head injuries associated with contact sports, especially in scholastic age athletes, that maybe aren't so minor, especially over time. And again, there's a cumulative effect of these kinds of minor head injuries. So, yeah, I mean, if you are a professional athlete and there's a 240-pound linebacker who has his crosshairs on you, you know, there's not much you can do about that except run faster. But if you are hit by someone like that, yeah, then the other person is certainly instrumental in whatever happens to you. But there's a lot of solo sports that we play that start to drag us down as well. And many of the things you mentioned, skiing, golf, running, are all a part of that, which is really very self-imposed exposure to potential injury.
We touched on this. I'm hoping you go into a little more detail. But you write about how this sports industrial complex has really warped our world, in your opinion.
It has, and I'm not the only one. I actually quote a couple of other authors in my book who have taken this point. This is not my, I'm not that clever that I came up with this on my own, but I certainly take it to heart. I think that the amount of money that is made by society, by companies and athletic teams and athletic clothing and sneaker sales is in the hundreds of billions of dollars. And it is a huge industry that is certainly motivated to protect itself. And so that is part of what I call the lack of informed consent. All of these aspects of the sports industrial complex are not really motivated to let you know how you can be harmed by this. And in some, and it's not true in all cases. And I make the case about skiing, actually, where the industry has gone to great lengths to make it a safer sport. And there are there's quite an effort to deal with the issue of chronic traumatic brain injury and the effects of multiple concussions over time and how to protect especially the younger brain from those kinds of injuries. But in general, this sports industrial complex is a huge golden egg, and no one wants it to go away or get smaller. In fact, they want it to get bigger, and it typically does.
With the definitive title of Exercise Will Hurt You, it is, I suppose, safe to say that there are safer sports than others.
Sure, but even the most benign of sports, seemingly benign, can harm you. And I actually have a chapter in yoga on there because of the paradox of thinking of that yoga can hurt you, because yoga is really thought of a healing endeavor.
Right.
Many people use yoga to get over problems of joint injuries, sore backs, sore necks, etc. And it does. It is very helpful. It is very healing in many cases. But in certain cases, especially in those cases where individuals are not properly instructed and not properly taught, you can hurt yourself even doing something that you think is helping you. So there's you're not entirely safe no matter what you do when you put it in those terms.
So you believe in, once you have this knowledge, that we can keep ourselves safer and perhaps not eliminate injuries, but at least reduce them.
Correct. You'll never eliminate injuries. And that's not what I'm, that's not the thesis I take. My point is that just know what you're getting into. Understand when something's gone wrong and pay attention to it. That's the listen to your body aspect of it. And then seek proper help. And then also, when you get back into sport, use some common sense about what you should be doing and how aggressively you should be doing it. Don't try to be 30 when you're 60. Certainly don't listen to all of the hype out there that tells you how you can only get better if you do this sport or that exercise or buy this piece of equipment. That's really the point I try to make in the book. Although I do raise a very large red flag for parents of school-age children about contact sports. And I think I come down very heavy on boxing. I personally feel boxing should be banned because the only object of that is to injure somebody.
Right.
I mean, the object is to create a head injury of that's bad enough that knocks out your opponent. I mean, what kind of sport is that? So I take that opinion, or I come to that opinion about boxing. In terms of football and that sort of thing, I think we're going to see over time a move away from scholastic participation in contact sports, especially football, because parents won't let their kids play as they get smarter about these potential injuries and as the whole issue of traumatic brain injury becomes more and more known to the public. And I actually quote some statistics that says even we're already seeing a drop-off across the country in the numbers of participants in football, at especially the junior high and high school level. So, you know, I think it's going to be a self-selected change of behavior based on, hopefully, knowledge.
Well, the name of the book is Exercise Will Hurt You. It is published by Seven Stories Press. Dr. Stephen Bearer, thank you very much for spending time with us. I appreciate it.
And my pleasure. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Exercise Will Hurt You by Dr. Stephen Bearer. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.